Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. It's Thursday, and I'm here with Alyssa Farah Griffin. This is Behind the Table. All right. Hello, Alyssa. How are you?
I'm good. Hello, Brian.
I'm happy to have you here. And let's start by congratulating you on this incredible profile in the New York Times.
Thank you.
This is really so like, I mean, I've been around enough where we see these articles come out. And even though I had no reason to doubt it, you still kind of hold your breath when like there's a big thing coming out about you.
Completely. I mean, I can't believe like it's in print today. Like, and it's a whole, you know, spread. And leading up to it, I was very nervous. I think it's just natural because it's focusing so much on me. There's personal elements to it. And it's the New York Times. But I got to say, the journalist I got to work with, Jacob Bernstein, was just so interesting and thoughtful. And the more I talked to him, yes, I was literally nervous until the moment I read it. But I felt like he captured me and I felt like he wanted to know me rather than, you know, coming into it with some preconceived narrative and then just plugging and playing. And the team, like, I just have to say, there's a little bit of a perception out there with the show that there's like all this drama and whatever. And listen, we have our drama, but I've never felt so supported in a job. Like everyone was excited for me with this piece. They wanted to see how they could help contribute to it. Like Joy wanted to help, Whoopi wanted to. Sarah's like, my only regret is I didn't get to say something. And like Sunny congratulated me. It meant a lot and all the staff. So yay, I was really excited.
Well, no, I was happy for you. And you said it came out on digital this weekend, but now it's in print, which is like a whole nother feel.
It's like so it's cool.
Yeah.
My husband's out scooping up print copies.
I'm very proud of you, too. And I thought it was great. A nice picture of what it's like a day in the life of you coming from here, going to CNN. It was Tuesday.
It was like the perfect day because it's a classic View day where we start with politics. Then we have RuPaul on and just this awesome segment and just so cool. But then I race over to CNN to do like 6 hours of Super Tuesday coverage. And it kind of shows what a day in the life is like. And he also got a lot of back scenes access here. So to kind of see the process and all the producers that go into making the show and all of the team and different elements.
Well, speaking of which, Joy pointed out your beautiful Dolce & Gabbana pink suit that you were photographed in, styled by our amazing stylist, Fran Taylor. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so Fran styles all of us and is just perfection. And God's honest truth, when I came to the show, I didn't have a strong sense of personal style. I've never really been super fashion inclined. And Fran is always trying to get me to try things I wouldn't and to, you know, not even push limits, but just get excited, wear bright colors, wear a different style. And she pulled out this suit and I was like, I don't know, like it's very loud. And I put it on. I felt like unstoppable. I was like, I need to own this very expensive Dolce & Gabbana suit. And then I found out, so because sometimes some of the hosts will share clothes because we're like roughly similar sizes. And Sunny had worn it to an event. So I was like, oh, good, I can fit in what Sunny can. but no, Fran's awesome. And it was actually funny. Yesterday I was shopping on Madison and I went into Alice and Olivia, which is like one of my favorite stores. And the gal working recognized me and was like, well, you're on The View. And she's like, do you know Fran Taylor? God's honest truth. So like young woman coming up in fashion and just, you know, admired her and knows her by, you know, just by her work. So very, very fun.
Now we're lucky to have her because I, of course, have no fashion sense whatsoever and just can tacitly acknowledge, hey, you guys look great every day. And that's about it. And but people talk about it and care and the viewers want to see what you guys are wearing every day and certainly have a lot of thoughts. So
without glam and Fran, it'd be like the COVID days when you guys were in boxes wearing headbands and like T-shirts.
That was rough. That was rough. But everyone gave it their best. But that was rough.
Oh, wait. Can I say one funny thing on the New York Times piece? So Jacob Bernstein, well-known style reporter, he covers a lot of stuff, entertainment. So I knew he was Nora Ephron's son, amazing writer for like a ton of rom-com classics.
When Harry Met Sally, among others.
Yes. Yep. So I go into it like, oh, this is really cool. I'm like days into talking to him before I realize he's Carl Bernstein's son, who I know through CNN and like of Woodward and Bernstein. I was like, how did I miss that? Yeah, but he's a funny mix of both of them.
With the last name, you think that would have been a tip.
You'd think my political brain would have come in. Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. Now, in this article, a few people gave comments in the piece, including really impressive names. Former Obama advisor David Axelrod, who I guess you work with at CNN from quite a bit.
Yeah, Ax and I have become friends because we've done so many of these nights.
Sorry.
On a first name or a last name nickname basis. Yeah. Well, what people don't know with like show like CNN, those nights when we're on for 6 hours, it's mostly just us sitting off camera talking. And right. So I've got a text thread with him and some of the Republican guys like Scott Jennings and David Urban. And they're just like really supportive of me. There was an era in politics where, not to pat myself on the back, but like game recognized game. So like you could be an Obama person, but you got along with the Republicans because you're like, listen, you just believe in something different, but we're all in it hustling and think we're doing what's right for
That's
the country. And Ax is that kind of old school, like, you know, treats you well is not going to because we might ideologically disagree.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, you got a nice quote from Fauci. I'm sorry, Dr. Anthony Fauci.
The Fauci.
Yes.
Love him. Remember we saw him at the correspondence dinner. He was a very important person in my life for the period I was in the Trump West Wing because it was the height of COVID. There's been so much wrong reporting around that period. But we were in the trenches together, Dr. Birx, too. A lot of the team started to shift on the doctors. They wanted to keep them off of TV. They thought it was bad for the political run. And Fauci and I actually coordinated to basically work around a directive I got from Trump to keep him off TV. And I'd put him on all these regional markets because I was like, Trump won't know if he's in Wisconsin giving public health information. But it was also like, that's a hot spot and they need to hear from Dr. Fauci. So he and I were through crazy stuff together. And that meant so much to have his voice in the piece. He's an absolute patriot and a wonderful person.
No, that's good.
Also, one of those people who you're like, how is he 80? Because he's running around and he's so sharp and just incredible.
No, I have a lot of respect for him, of course. Love to get him on the show sometime soon. And, of course, our very own Joy Behar made a cameo, just knocked on the door and popped in, explained what happened.
She's so funny. I felt like, honestly, the day he was here backstage went so well. I was like, this feels like a setup. Joy knew he was here, and she's interviewed Jacob before and, like, knows him. So she pops her head in my dressing room and is like, you be nice to her or something like that, and, like, jokingly threatened him. But it meant a lot to me because in auditioning for this show, I'm like, oh, the mean liberal Joy Behar. And then you get to know her, and she's so different. Like, she's supportive. She's kind. Again, she can look past disagreements and, like, genuinely like a person she disagrees with.
Absolutely.
Sometimes the public perception of people is so just reductive.
Yeah, no, I just thought it was terrific. And if you haven't seen it, please look online or go out to the newsstand and grab one. It's pretty great. Okay. Let's change gears here. The one thing most of you have in common this week is your obsession, like the rest of the world, like me, with this Kate Middleton story. Are you losing sleep over it? Because I think Sarah got some credit at the table for being the gateway. I actually think it was you. I think you were the one who started everybody down this rabbit hole.
I am losing sleep over it. I'm not joking when I say my husband's been like, put down your phone. I'm also I'm explaining my theories to him, and he could not be more disinterested. But here's what I will say. I actually think this is somewhat serious, and I don't mean to, you know, feed into conspiracies or allegations, but they are a public family. They're a head of state, not in the sense of the head of government, but these are people who are in the public's life, and we just simply have not seen her for months on end. And the decision by the palace to, you know, put out this picture, not put out any clarifying statements other than, like, you know, Kate allegedly not very good with Photoshop, people worry. And I don't know, I was talking to our producer. I remember where I was when Princess Diana died. My mom and I were about to leave the house. She's like, we have to stop and watch the news. It's like, it's embedded in me. And then we know the drama with Meghan and Harry leaving. And so I think the public has this sense of like, something's not right. And I'm not alluding to anything, God forbid, of that nature, but just what are we not seeing? Because we've seen people in that world be treated very, very poorly. And I hope that she's okay. I I think that the palace has an absolute duty to clear this up, because the long, just from a PR perspective, the longer you leave it out there and then the weird Photoshop, it leads people's minds to crazy places.
Well, the lack of transparency becomes more concerning every day, because you just start to do a cost-benefit analysis in your head. If you're working for the palace, if you're part of the firm, and how bad must this be where that the speculation is better.
Is somehow better, right.
Than telling the truth.
That's exactly it. As a former crisis PR professional, that's what you always weigh. Like, sure, there, a mea culpa can be messy, but this is somehow better? I mean, there's very, you know, a lot of things swirling out there. And for me, too, I mean, I hope her health is well and send her best wishes, but we have had a friend who just had very major, one of the most invasive abdominal surgeries. He was out of the hospital in 4 days. He was off bed rest in 8 days. In modern medicine, there are very few things that put you physically out of commission for months on end. And so I think it just, I don't, you know, I want to be careful when I say this. I think it's just worth clearing up. I think the public loves her. They're invested in her. They're invested in the family. They're invested in the kids, too.
If it was a medical concern at this point, I feel like everyone's heart would be with her. Why not tell them that? Why not say that?
Well, that's exactly it.
Right.
I think, and again, a statement, a little more details, that does happen with public figures. Like, it's not, I don't love it that it has to be the case, but sometimes you do have to share, you know, this is what's going on. Mm-hmm. And it's...
Even something from her saying, respect my privacy.
Yeah,
you know,
honestly.
Anything. It doesn't have to be a tell-all. I don't know.
And I think, listen, there have been credible outlets that have reported in the past about issues within the marriage, and it just feeds to the narrative that it may be something there and something beyond just the health issues. So I feel like they could knock all of this down very easily if they just put something out, some kind of like sign of she's fine. She just wants a little bit of privacy.
All right. Well, we'll continue to track it. You know, Whoopi feels very strongly.
I get that.
Yeah.
As somebody who's as famous as Whoopi, she can relate more than like the rest of the hosts can.
Sure.
But it is, I think it's a little different. They're figurative heads of state. He's the future king. She's the future queen.
Mm-hmm. We'll be also incredibly transparent generally.
That's the thing, actually. Yeah.
But, you know, I listen, I'm sure there's more to it than we realize. I just hope it's nothing serious.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts. Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.
Something in the news we haven't gotten your take on yet was Eric Trump's wife, Lara, being formally elected to the Republican National Committee's number two position, or kind of co-number one. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on this? It's kind of really speaks to the direction of the RNC.
I mean, it's the final, you know, nail in Donald Trump's takeover of the Republican Party, installing a loyalist and a family member as the co-chair. And it couldn't – the fact that Republicans are just going along with this is insane, because the party is so important in – winning both the presidency, but every down ballot Republican race. And the RNC is not raising money where it needs to. They're laying off. They just let go of 60 staffers who weren't seen as loyalists once Lara Trump came on board. And it's more or less being used as a legal defense fund for Donald Trump. Like, how the chairs around the country have decided that this was the best way to keep the House, win back the Senate, and win the presidency is beyond me. And Lara Trump does have experience in her Trump years giving speeches and raising money, but this is not a professional, you know, political operative who knows how to work with the state parties, who knows the down ballot candidates, who knows the big donors. And I mean,
who's capable of making any anti-Trump decisions at this point.
And I mean, exactly that's a big part of it, is there are going to be races that Republicans cannot win if the candidate's not willing to break with Trump on some issues. I think of Mike Lawler in Westchester County. He cannot be all with Trump, so you will lose that seat then. And I mean, listen, like, I think she has political aspirations of her own, mm-hmm. in addition to musical aspirations. But it's deeply unserious.
Oh, well, I mean, it seems like everyone's just cast 100% all the way in now, and we'll see where it goes. And I guess if it doesn't work, if Trump is roundly defeated, then it'll be a moment where people will have to look inward and see what comes next.
But. Well, and to state the obvious, but it's worth repeating, this goes one of two ways. He wins and it takes our country a very scary direction, as Jim Sciutto talked about on the show today, both domestically but on the international stage, or he's going to get roundly defeated. I think Republicans will lose the House because this is the worst House Republican conference in modern history. And that's the moment I'm hoping we get to, where the party looks around and they're like, shoot, Nikki Haley was picking up like counties Biden won in Georgia, a swing state. Maybe we need to go with somebody who has appeal beyond the small MAGA base.
I guess we'll find out. All right. We have some calls. Let's hear from our listeners who have taken the time to ask some questions. What do we got?
Hi, my name is Ethan. Brian, I love what you and the View team have done with the show in its current form. I think it's the best it's ever been. Alyssa, I'm a big fan of yours as well. My question is for you. Now that you're in your second season as a co-host, in your opinion, what role does the View play in shaping public opinion and actually influencing political discourse in America?
Thank you for the question. I am blown away 2 years in to see how much an impact the show has. Like, I always knew, I and I've always been a View watcher, but I mean, this morning, for example, we had Governor Hochul on yesterday. Her interview is the front page of the New York Daily News. Governor Cuomo's responding to something she said. The number of times we've just driven huge news cycles. I recall when we had Tim Scott on. I mean, every network was airing Sonny's questioning of him and Whoopi getting in. The political impact is hard to even capture, because it's the media follows what we do and report on it. But so many viewers who aren't necessarily following more of like the CNN or Fox News or MSNBC are getting their information from us. So I think I'm honestly surprised. And I'll say on the Republican side, this is going to sound again like patting my back, so apologies. In my role, I'm kind of forced to give general election Republican answers every day, because I'm met with people who generally disagree with my position. So I'm not giving the, you know, primary answer once the Dobbs decision comes down, where it's I'm giving something that would resonate with a mainstream Republican. So I think of when Dobbs came down, we've been talking about reproductive health, abortion for the last year. I was one of the first Republicans on national TV saying we need to, if we're going to say we're pro-life, we need to be pro-life through life. That's, you know, foster care, paid parental leave, more resources for the most vulnerable moms. It can't just be a slogan. We need to have sympathy and love and no judgment for women who do get abortions, and we need to have some access and some restrictions. Fast forward, that is where the party ended up about 8 months into the debate around it.
Right.
But it's funny, we at times are kind of ahead of where the discourse has to be, and then you see the political leaders come to closer to where our conversation started.
I think so too, and I'm always, listen, there are people that are, like you say, watching the show because they want to learn about what's happening in the world, and there's a huge swath of people that just want to see you guys react to what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the day after the State of the Union, we had tremendous numbers on our mm-hmm. Friday show, the biggest in 2.5 years, because people wanted to see you guys react to mm-hmm. not only President Biden, but also Katie Britt.
Yeah.
You know, anytime something big happens in the political world, people want to see you react to it. And then also, frankly, people that don't care for the show see clips of the show.
Yeah.
They see it on Fox. They see it on other people, you know, teeing up because they disagree with you guys. But for whatever reason, there's not a part of the political or viewership out there that does not have an interest in what the View is talking
mm-hmm.
about.
Mm-hmm.
For better,
there's entire like outlets that basically rely on just watching what we say and then clipping it up. So Godspeed.
Yeah, exactly. If only they knew the care in which we figured out what we're talking about every day.
Right.
The 20-minute meeting every morning, and here we go. We also have another listener text. This one is from Layla. She says, I'm a 22-year-old political organizer in the South, but I have a question for you surrounding the love department of life. How should I go about finding a guy that is not intimidated by my career or ambition? It's tough out there, and from what I hear on the show, you found the gem of a man that supports you in everything that you do.
Oh, thank you, Layla. I do have a gem of a man. So a couple of things. I don't remember how this came up, but in our Hot Topics meeting, actually, Brian Ray, you raised, would your spouses ever be jealous, or do they ever get jealous of your professional success?
Right.
And every one of the hosts said no. And our spouses are all so different, but I think to marry driven, accomplished women, you need somebody who's going to support and be excited about your success, not a man who's ever going to be threatened by it. And I don't, like, I couldn't do this job without my spouse. Sarah and I talk about this too, and his support. So you need that. But I'd say in the dating pool, I personally think date outside of your field. I'm glad that I chose not to really date in politics. My husband did some work in it, but that was never the core of his career, because it gives you guys, you can have interesting complementary viewpoints or conversations, but your worlds aren't so aligned. You're not even competing in the same field. And it just kind of broadens your friend group, your social circles. So I'd say, like, look for love outside of the workplace. And I believe very strongly in being deliberate about dating when you're ready to meet someone. I go about it the same way I would, like, a job that I wanted, which is, like, I'm going to ask friends to set me up. If you're interested in apps, go on the apps and put yourself out there. The biggest mistake I think women make is, like, staying home and thinking some handsome man's going to come kidnap them in their living room and they're going to fall in love. So put yourself out there.
Now, that makes a lot of sense to me, because who wants to go home and have the same debates and talk about the same thing you spent your whole day talking about?
Exactly.
And if there are people that have other interests, complementary interests, like you said, but things that are outside of, I mean, you know, I will say, of all of you, I feel like Sarah is the one who goes home and has view debates with her husband.
I think the most probably.
Yes.
Because Max is very focused on current affairs and pays attention and likes discussing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it works, because I think
she's engaged by it. She wants to have those conversations
that. Like,
again.
Sarah's not small talk. She always wants, like, the deep and the interesting. And I think that works really well, because I also see that, like, I can sometimes tell when I think it might have been a Max opinion that she came around to, which is interesting. And I have those with Justin too, because I sometimes have a reflexive opinion and then we talk something out and I'm like, oh yeah, that actually makes more sense.
My wife has never changed her opinion based on something I've said ever in 20 years of marriage. Not once have I moved her on any topic.
But let me just to put a finer point, like, if my husband had been, like, a Capitol Hill staffer who came up with me, I could see, not my husband because his character, but a person like that, it could be hard to, like, she's in the New York Times and she's this and I'm this.
Sure.
There's something to let them thrive and shine in their own space, and then you can shine and thrive in your own.
Yeah, I think that's probably the healthiest. I mean, I definitely have friends that are in the same industry together that are married, but it has complications,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think. All right, let's switch gears to Bravo, because people demand it. We've been watching Vanderpump Rules, and one of the cast members, Sheena, did I say that right?
Yes. Okay. I love how you're like, we've been watching. Yeah, Brian, you've been watching Vanderpump.
I'm trying, guys. I'm trying to get up for this. Talked about how during the pandemic, she was struggling financially and barely had any money to live on. This was kind of shocking to you. Tell me about it.
Yes. And then in a recent episode, Ariana Maddox, the queen of Vanderpump,
yes,
actually admitted that people assumed she got all these endorsements, that she was, you know, bringing in millions. And at first she said it was down to $2,000 in her bank account. I wanted to talk about this because I think young women my age too, like, we look at social media and we look at these reality TV stars and we assume they have it all together. They're wealthy. They're wearing nicer clothes than me. They've got more followers. And there's this perception that in the reality TV world, they're getting heavily compensated for everything they do. The reality is, unless you're one of those stars that married into money, like all the Real Housewives, it's actually, they're not super well compensated. And unless you know how to turn it into a business, as some of them do, you could end up being on really shaky footing. So I thought, one, it was important to note, just for the public opinion, because I just, in my mind, I was like, I certainly thought these women were more financially well off. And Ariana now is, she's on Broadway. They extended her time. She's done endorsements. But it's also a reminder, and Whoopi always says this, and she'd said it to the cast of Jersey Shore at one point because they're making this money, but she's like, save it, invest, plan for the future. This won't always be there. I love the Bravo stars like Paige DeSorbo on Summer House. She constantly talks about, like, I hustle. I work like three jobs and I'm on the show and it gives me the visibility to. That needs to be the attitude because any one of these shows could get canceled any day of the week. These stars are not necessarily compensated like a TV star is. And they need to think about financial hygiene. But it's also not real life is what viewers need 100%. To remember.
It's funny. We were talking about in the bullpen this morning, some of the producers were talking about friends of theirs that are influencers and wow, they're doing so well. And you see these photos and everything else. I'm like, well, you see the photos, but you don't know. And honestly, maintaining the image is expensive. So for an Ariana, the places she's going, the trip she's taking, things like that, it makes sense to me that she's spending a ton of money because to roll in these circles to keep that lifestyle up is very, very expensive.
Well, I mean, like, and I'm by nature, just how I grew up, I like don't like to spend things. I honestly just bought my first pair of Golden Goose sneakers, which like every basic girl owns, because I was like, that seems like a lot to spend on a sneaker.
Sure.
But I look at these girls who actually are making far less than I do, and it's they're done up from head to toe, and there's an expectation, and there's an expectation they have full glam for everything. I think that there needs to be some of the bigger stars in that world that don't, you know, come from all these resources like Lisa Vanderpump. They need to know how to advocate for themselves too, though, because if you're putting your life that out there, you deserve to not be like living paycheck to paycheck.
Right. Once you're established, but just coming from someone who works on the business side of television, you know, there's so many people that want these things. It's not hard to find someone who wants to be on a reality show. So
everyone's replaceable. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
You know, you're not paying the 25 guys that show up for The Bachelor a ton of money each. You know, they're happy to be there.
Well, and again, the reminder is you're on the show to use as a platform to do other things. The show should not be your job because A, it could go away, B, you're replaceable, but there's so much you can do off of being on one of those shows and having visibility.
Absolutely. You have these moments and you have to lean into them all the way and see what they and try to make them last as long as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's interesting. All right. So thank you for joining me, Alyssa. Tomorrow, I'll be back with Anna Navarro. In the meantime, if you have a question or want advice from a co-host, check the episode description for the number to our Behind the Table hotline. And thank you for listening. Oh, and tomorrow we have two big guests. We have Don Lemon on the heels of this ex-Elon Musk conversation.
Can't
so
wait.
I'm excited to have that. And Teresa Caputo is coming, the Long Island Medium.
Wait.
Very exciting. All right, so tune into that. Leave us a message, and we'll talk to you soon.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers Group Text Podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers Group Text Podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one group text you won't want to exit.